Hey, Rabbi.
Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Welcome back. Sefer Shmuel, Perek Aleph. We're in the Mishkan. We are in Shiloh right now. That's where we are. We find ourselves. And that's where we also find ourselves 2 weeks from now on Rosh Hashanah in the Mishkan, in our Mishkan, reading and learning and being inspired from the story of Chana. So I wanted to take one step back to add one additional point to what we've been learning and then move forward in the Pesukim. We learn that Chana doesn't have children. We learn that she has a husband named Elkanah, a wife named Nina, a co-wife named Penina, who is tries to push her, maybe in the right way, not right way. We discuss that. And Elkanah told her, "Hello, Ani, I'm better than, her husband tried to make things easy for her and calm her down by saying, I'm better than 10 sons. Men try to, say nice things to their wives to calm them down. And we don't always have the ability to, or the foresight to say the right thing, the wisdom to say the right thing. And that was not the right thing. And it was only at that moment when Chana died, Rabbi Salavechik was curious as to why the Haftor for Chana is the first day Rosh Hashanah, and what is unique about that. He said the following. He said, if you look at this whole situation from Chana's perspective, up until this moment, she at least has her husband on her side. She at least has her husband on her side. I'm sure after this also he's on her side, but she is leaning on him for many things. She's relying on him for tefillah, for also partnering in davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu that she has children from him. And after he says this, she realizes she's got nobody. She has nobody. He's seemingly, right, based on this statement, I'm better than 10 sons, giving up on this dream of having a child. And it's at this moment of despair where Chana says, the only person or thing that I have in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No people are going to help me anymore. I have nobody but Hashem. And that's what propels her and motivates her to go to the Mishkan and daven on her own. We said beautifully, the Malbim points out that it was like at night, it was quiet there, and she goes all on her own to daven to the Ribono Shel Olam that she has a child. And I think that is so, amazing. And Rabbi Salavechik says that's why we read this on Rosh Hashanah, because one of the major themes of Rosh Hashanah is Malchios, Hamlachas Hashem. It's the day of coordinating God. And what we're doing is we're saying that in all situations, even if we have people and supporting us and davening for us and in our behalf and community to back us up, Ein lanu amid lehisha'en. We really have one person to rely upon, and that is the Ribono Sha'olam, the Melech Malchim Lachim. And that's part of helping change our perspective. Maybe we lose our way throughout the year. We forget who we have in our corner. And we have the Ribono Sha'olam there for us, cheering us on. And also, davening, all we need to do sometimes is to say the right words. Veshbochas nafshi lifnei Hashem, as we're going to see.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
How does this contrast the interaction between Rachel and Yaakov? Because they had also a little bit of discussion regarding that.
It's a very similar discussion where Rachel gets aggressive with Yaakov and gets angry at him, where she says, you're not davening for me. You're not doing enough. Right? So it's a very, very similar discussion. This is why Chazal put Chana on the same like level as the imahos, right? She is one of the imahos that is an akara, that is infertile. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Chana. Leah did not have that. She Baruch Hashem had children right away, so she's like put on that pedestal as them. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah puts her on the same level, and they're all remembered on Rosh Hashanah. This is the day that they're remembered. So we left off by Chana davening, and the part of her tefillah was something new that she created that never existed beforehand. Rak sfaseha naos, the kola lo yishama. Her lips were moving, but Eli never heard what she said. Vekola lo yishama. So this is fascinating because this was strange back then, because nobody ever davened like this in history, right? This was new. So therefore, he thought, Eli thought, that she was drunk. He was convinced that she was not, that she was drunk. So why is that a problem that she was drunk? So first of all, it's a problem because people in the past, they davened out loud. They davened out loud, or they davened silently. They didn't move their lips where people couldn't hear. So that was weird. It was strange. And so he thought she was drunk. She thought she was drunk at this moment. And he said to her, Vayomer Elaha, you see it right here in Pasuk Yudalid, Vayomer Elaha, so I have like a lot of screens open. You'll see in a second why. Vayomer Elaha, Ad Matai Tishtakrin. Hasiri es yeinech me'alayich. Until when are you going to be drunk? Stop making a spectacle of yourself, right? Come back here when you sober up. He's like, takes out the hose and he, you know, sprays her down. Not literally, but he says, stop, you know, come back when you're better. And, you know, on two levels here, and Chazal and Rishonim pick up on this, is that Mikan, you learn two things from here. Number one, it's prohibited to daven while you're drunk. Not only is it prohibited to drive while you're drunk, we also can't daven while we are drunk. When we appear before Hashem, we have to be of sound mind, body, and soul. We have to be ourselves. We can't have anything in us that is altering our state. We can't be shikur. That's why that's a big sugya when it comes to Purim itself. That challenge. So number one is you can't be drunk during davening. Number two, you can't drink in the context of the Mishkan. That's another prohibition. So that's not only for the Kohanim. A Kohen, when he's serving, a Kohen can't have revius of wine unless it comes to cause him to get drunk. There was an opinion in the Gemara that even says that Bizman Hazet, today, Kohanim can drink wine, except on Shabbos. Why can't they drink wine? Because the Beis HaMikdash might come at any minute. And if the Beis HaMikdash comes at any minute, they might be drunk. And then they can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Unbelievable thought, right? Shema Yibana Beis HaMikdash B'mehira might come so fast. Bam. So fascinating. Fascinating thought. So the Gemara rejects that. For technicalities, but we see that concept. The Gemara then says, what do you see from here? Mikan laro vechaver davar shino hagan tzori l'achicha. You see from here that somebody that is doing something that's inappropriate, that you don't agree with, and they're doing something, you know, halachically, objectively wrong, then you have to tell them. That's why Eli told Chana, why are you drunk? Because that's a halacha. That's a halacha betochacha that we need to say, tell somebody that when they are doing something wrong. That's why. So you learn a few different halachos from here. This is spelled out in the background from the Malbim, from the Gemara Maseches Brachos, and from Rashi as well. So he says to her, "Asiri es yeinech." May alayich, remove the wine from you. Says the Radak, ki at nires kishikora ve'ein at osa kishar mispam sh'omrim bakashot v'derech sh'tuchal lishmoa. Right, you're not davening normally. Come back when you're better. So she responds, right? So I think this is, you know, if this happened to you, like, put yourself in Chana's position. You are going through something very, very difficult in your life. And it's hard enough for you to express your emotion. And now you're there. You're expressing your emotion in a very deep and passionate way, in a very holy and sanctified place. And you're davening and you're in a zone. You're in a very, you know, you're in a very connected place. And the leader of that place, right, comes over to you and says, you're drunk, right? Come back later. You're not, it's not appropriate for you to be here right now, right? So imagine you're in shul. It's like Kol Nidre. It's Ne'ilah. It's Yisker. And you're by the Kotel. And the head of the synagogue that you are in, the head of the shul, the rabbi of the shul comes over to you. It says, sorry, come back later. It's too much. You know, come back when you're not drunk. The average person's reaction, you know, would be so intense. They would scream back, yell back, "How dare you? How dare you accuse me of doing such a horrible thing?" So, V'tan Chana, what does Chana say? It just shows her character. She says, "No, sir, Eli, lo aduni, no, my master, I am not drunk. That's not what I am right now. Anochi, isha kishas ruach anochi. I am a kishas ruach." Now, what does it mean? She's a kishas ruach. How do you define those words? We have it here. Well, Safaria says she's an unhappy woman. I'm not sure if I necessarily agree with that definition over here. The yayin v'sheichar loshish. See, I didn't drink wine or alcohol. V'shpokas nafshi lifnei Hashem. I'm pouring out my soul to God. I'm isha kishas ruach. Many interpret this line. What she's saying is that I am a very emotional person. I've had a very heavy life. I've had a lot go on in my life, and it's all coming out right now. And I'm pouring out my soul to God. That's Isha Kishas Ruach Anochi. The Chida, in one of his Sfarim, called the Gilyon HaZohar, Chida writes the following. What is the word kishas? Kuf, shin, taf. So the natural feeling that Chana could feel at this time was a very strong feeling of jealousy towards Penina, which she may have felt very naturally. Too often, people that are jealous, they react in a very horrible way to the people that they're jealous over. Their children, lo aleinu, do something more horrible to the kids. And the first time in history where we saw jealousy play out was with the second sin in the world. That's with Cain and Hevel. Hevel's korban was brought, and Cain's korban was not brought. Cain got jealous of Hevel, and he murdered his brother. So says the Chida here, that when she says kishas ruach, kishas, kuf, shin, taf, stands for tikun shoresh kayin. That by her not acting on her very human jealousy, right, and reacting in the right way by davening to God for her own children, she is fixing the source, the root of the sin of kayin. And she is pouring out her soul. Continues on. Al titanes amasecha lifnei bas pliyal. She says, "Do not consider me like a bad person, a bas pliyal. Ki mirov sichi v'chaasi dibarti ad hina. Until now, I have spoken from a very, you know, emotional, fresh street from my heart. Davening to Hashem from my pain and from my suffering. from my pain and from my suffering. Later on, we will see that this word Belial is going to come up again in the context of Eli's sons. Belial is a very negative and derogatory term used in Tanakh, referring to people that do despicable things. So Shmuel, who wrote the Navi, is using this word. The Schana is saying, I am not like your sons. That's not who I am. I have no ulterior motives here. My motive is completely and solely for Hashem. It's very Lishma. So she's using that language here, right? And I'm coming from a very strong, visceral, and powerful place.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Could have this interaction just might have put place Chana over the top and now gave her what she wanted, and it was how she reacted as the final test. Obviously she was going through tests here to make this happen, but this is being the final test to make it happen that she was going to have a son.
The Gemara, Rav Chaim Kanievsky was into this. I just read a story from him recently where there was a, and take this as you see it. I'm sharing the story. Is the Gemara says that somebody that was embarrassed publicly has a tremendous bracha. It's a tremendous bracha. Not that anybody wants to be in that position to be embarrassed publicly, but if somebody was shamed publicly, and Hashem is going to reward them tremendously. It's a tremendous bracha. So Rav Chaim, I forgot the whole story, but a couple came to him that couldn't have any children. And Rav Chaim said to him, I can't give you a bracha. He said, go to this couple who had come to him earlier in the day, telling them the story, asking them what we should do. We've been shamed publicly. What should we do? So he told this other couple, go to them to get a bracha. Because they have this, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give them this koach, a blessing, because of the, what happened to them. So yes, here she's shamed, not publicly, presumably nobody else was around. We don't hear of anybody else. But yeah, this could be the final test to show that she is completely and utterly dishma about what she's doing through her reaction. It is tremendous what to learn from and how she behaves over here with a person in a leadership position, and she's not ripping him to shreds. She is talking to him in a very respectful manner and saying who she is and not, yelling at him. And we would take her to task for that either. Vayan Eli. So Eli responds. Lechi l'shalom. So the Gemara here points out, let's see if I can pop it up. What's great about Sefaria is that you can click on the Pasuk and you have on the side here Talmud, and the Gemara here comes up. So here you go. Okay. Has anyone ever heard of the concept? Oh, you suspected me of something and you're wrong. You owe me a bracha. You owe me a bracha. So that concept comes from this story here. Eli now gives her a bracha. L'chila shalom, ve'elokei Yisrael yitena she'laseich, asher sh'alt me'imo. And Hashem should grant you what you asked of him. She doesn't, by the way, Eli, Chai never says, it's kids. Maybe someone has a really bad diagnosis. Maybe there's something else going on here. Maybe there's, she never says what it is. He never asks, which is very powerful also. And the Gemara Brachos tells us, "Vayan Eli v'yomer lechila shalom, Amar v'Lazar mikan lechoshet es chaver b'davar she'ein bo." You see here that if somebody, you suspect somebody of something that really was untrue, was unfounded, she'tzaris lefaiso. Number one is you have to appease them. V'lo od, she'tzaris levarcho. You have to give them a bracha. So Amanda, yes, this fits very nicely with what you just asked. Or I don't know if that was you or Honey. We asked that question. Shemar. You see here that ultimately Eli gave her the bracha, and that bracha was chal on Chana, and she got that bracha from the Kohen Gadol. Right? So the Sefer here, Das Sofrim, points out that, like we said, that that Eli never asked or inquired, but he assumes that Eli understood, intuited, what Chana was davening for. Chana lo sipra le'eli shehi akara. He never said that she's infertile. V'hu hevi mitoch dvara shekavanas alaban. Yesh kan chilu dvarim rav. Chilu chashva l'shikora. Right now, it's amazing. Initially, he thought she was drunk. V'acha mikan hodiyah la ki ru'uya haya l'neis kado. And now he says, a big miracle is going to happen to you. Up until this moment, you've been infertile. It's been impossible for you to have children. And now it's going to be possible. Ula yesh b'kach l'ha'id al tzuras b'ulas ruach ha'kodesh ba'adam. Ayde sheshor ha'ruach mima'al mishtanis yediyas adam b'ofen mukhla. You see from here, I'm going to use different words, that Hashem's in control of the world. Just because there's a no right now, and just because the scientists, the doctors, they say no, it could happen, right? Hashem is in control. And Hashem, Sheila Seich. Right, so he shelazeh haser elef milashan shliya eli mafteach lashitele banim. So if you see from here the word itain as sheila seich, it should be sheila seich, your request. Sheila seich without the aleph. Why? Because a shilya is another word for a fetus. So that's he's referencing here. He's intuiting, he's, you know, using his intuition that what she really wants is a child, and it's hinted to in the pasuk with the aleph missing in the middle. Okay. Vatomer timsa shifchascha chein beinach. She answers and says, I should only find favor in your eyes. Ironically, she should find chen in his eyes. What is her name? Her name is Chana, right? Chana comes from the word chen, grace, favor. V'teilar ha'isha l'darka v'tocha. She went home and she ate. Faneha lo hayula od, right? She went home and her face was not with her moving forward. So what does that mean? Her face wasn't with her moving forward. So her countenance changed. Her affect, as we would say today, changed. Her angry or despondent disposition was no longer. She was very confident now in her tefillos and in the blessing that she received from Eli HaKohen. And that completely changed who she was. So first of all, she had the ability to eat. Beforehand, right, she was given food. Penina's now complaining, I get more food. It's so annoying, I have to feed all these kids. So frustrating, no time for myself. Okay, but at this moment, she goes back home. She eats, right? Showing that she can now focus on herself and her own needs. And she goes ahead and changes her affect. Vayishkimu baboker. Vishtachavu lifnei Hashem. The next morning, they davened, they bowed before God, literally, but they went to go daven. And they went home. The yantif was over. We discussed which yantif it was. And they went home. One second. Good. They went home. Vayeda Elkanah Chana Ishto Chana and Elkanah were together, Vizkareha Hashem. And Hashem remembered her, right? Hashem remembered her. So the Das Sofrim here points out, this is a very interesting way to Hashem, what do we say by Sarah? Anyone know? The first day of the Kriyas Torah for Rosh Hashanah, we use the word Hashem Pakad at Sarah, which means to remember. And here, the Navi used the word Vayiskareha, Hashem remembered her. Zachar and Pakad, are those the same words, different words? So here, Vayiskareha Hashem, ki hir yona lo ya kedera kolan Hashem. El tozasha birkas Hashem, shiskar lefnei abore olamim. Her conception and birth was not typical, and this was new. This was different. It was unique. The Gemara Ne'amar Shechan Nifkada Barosh Hashanah. The Kida Suhaisa Arba Chadashim Achar Divrei Eli. Shenemru La Bechag HaShavuos. We mentioned earlier that one of the major opinions here is that this happened on Shavuos. And when was she remembered? This was a few months later on Rosh Hashanah. That's when it happens. It's just fascinating. I don't have an answer to this question, but the bracha didn't happen right away. Could happen the next month. It did not happen right away. Some reason, some Hashem wanted to tie this into, or it needed to be connected to Rosh Hashanah. And that's when Chazal say that she did conceive on Rosh Hashanah. At the very least, she'd remember it on Rosh Hashanah. But here, the Sfarim say that she conceived also on Rosh Hashanah. Not sure why. It couldn't have happened earlier. Something unique, perhaps, about Rosh Hashanah that caused this.
It could be that because Rosh Hashanah starts a new year, so she was written in a new book.
Okay, very nice, Yasky. So maybe it's about, it's Dafka that the year before this wasn't written down. And in the new year, it was written down. Okay, very nice, very nice. Last pasuk for today.
Have I?
Yes.
Do we know the interval by the time she got the bracha and the day she conceived?
We just said, some say four, we just pointed out 4 months.
4 months, I'm sorry, I missed
it. It could be four months. It could be. I'm not saying it has to be. But it could be, that's what some of our say. It could be 4 months. Okay. Vayil tzkufa sayamim. Vatahar chana beteled ben. Vatahar, she conceived. And then she had the son. She gave birth to the son. Vatikra shmo Shmuel. He called her Shmuel. Called him. She called him Shmuel. Ki me Hashem she'iltiv. Because from Hashem, I asked of him. I inquired of him from Hashem. I davened from him. So she always wants to remember where he came from. And that was the way that she did it. You see how, you know, it's unique, but now it's not as unique. Hashem's name is in his name. Shmuel Shmokel. Is in there too, that she always is recognizing and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this very special gift. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and then we will continue Bezrat Hashem next week. I wish everybody a great day.
And don't forget, tomorrow we have a double header.